Good morning. Morning has broken, as the prelude states in the words, and it is a new day to praise God and to worship Him, and I'm very happy to see you here today as we do gather for worship. It is a special day, as you may have noted from the bulletin cover. It is the American Baptist Women's Ministries Sunday, which is an annual event, usually on the third Sunday of September. And you can see what the theme is for the next 2 years is feel or siente, which is in Spanish. There is an insert inside that talks about the program for the American Baptist Women's Ministries for the next 2 years. And the message today will be focused somewhat on that and on one of the theme scriptures. But it's good to have you here today as we do gather for worship. I want to extend a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting today, and invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but do want to point out that we will be having our monthly worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center this coming Tuesday at 2, and just let you read other things that are going on there. Underneath that, you will see the announcement about the Refugee Immigration Ministry, that they are selling fall flower bulbs. And there is a correction there that you get an extra week to order through October 1st. You may place your order. There are order forms on the desk in Judson Chapel that you may use during coffee hour. And the bulbs will be delivered and be available for pickup on October 8th. And you can contact Marilyn Glover if you need more information. Also underneath that, you will see about hurricane relief. And people have asked, and yes, the American Baptist Churches and the Home Mission Societies are encouraging us to support hurricane relief. And they do have both for Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. So you may make contributions to that through our church. Just put a note in the memo as to where you would like it to go, and that will be funneled through the One Great Hour of Sharing offering through our denomination. We'll be helping families and individuals and churches rebuild and get back on their feet after being devastated by the various hurricanes and storms that have come through. And in fact, our opening hymn is on page 4, there is a note about our opening hymn. It is a brand new hymn written in the last month based on things that have been going on in our world. And you can read more information there. But it is, as we pray for the people, it's also as part of our opening hymn is a prayer to God. So our opening hymn is there. And we're going to have our responsive call to worship, though, before that. But I did want to point that out to you. So I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship, which will be coming from verses from Psalm 135. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Come, let us worship our loving, powerful, and eternal God. And our opening hymn, as I mentioned, is printed on an insert in the bulletin today. And I invite you to stand, if you're able to, as we sing together.
Thank you.
let us pray. All-powerful God, you hold this world in your hands. Storms and sunshine, new growth and decay are all part of your creation. All reflects your glory and all lies out of our control. Be present among us this day and teach us how we may worship you in all of your complexity. We give you honor and glory as we pray in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time, students in kindergarten through grade 2 may go to their class.
Thank you.
Thank you, Irene and Marilyn. When did we see Jesus? When do we see Jesus? Many different times that we sometimes chalk it up to circumstance, but it may even be Jesus there with us. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to a time of prayer this morning. We want to keep Eleanor Covey in prayer. I learned last night that Eleanor's suffering from a cold and is not wanting to be around folks. We celebrate with Betty Hickey that Betty came home from rehab on Friday after having surgery on having her hip repaired and being at rehab. And I believe, yes, Naomi's here today too, so we celebrate Naomi. Naomi's recuperating from surgery almost 2 weeks ago now, and glad that she's feeling well enough to be here today, so that's another celebration. We also celebrate with Cindy Huddy, who Cindy had a hip replacement done this week, and she was moved to rehab yesterday. She's at the Golden Living in Elmhurst in Melrose, which is right across Lebanon Street from Melrose Wakefield Hospital. So we want to pray for Cindy as she continues her recuperation and rehab as she's learning to walk again with a new hip. And we just want to keep her in prayer and keep Chuck and Michael in prayer as well. You know, we always know that the patient's there, but the family is also impacted whenever somebody's hospitalized or having extended care. We also want to continue to remember Paul Patry and May Upperman, who are not feeling well enough to be able to be with us today, so we want to keep them in prayer today as well. And we last Sunday we were praying as the hurricane was hitting Florida, and we've seen some of the devastation and some of the many islands that are often been resorts for people that have just been decimated. And so we want to continue to pray for the folks that have been impacted by the different storms, and knowing that there's some more out there in the Atlantic that we're sort of listening about, and where are they going to, are they going to hit land or not? So we want to keep that in our prayers as well. Do you have requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Naomi. A sophomore at Naomi's school named Matt Duggan. Passed away suddenly, unexpectedly, recently, and not really much information about why or how, but we want to lift up his family and friends in prayer today, and just want to lift up that Duggan family. Kathy. Yes, Steve, glad to see you here today, but we know Steve's dealing with a painful knee that fell on the way to church, I think 2 weeks ago, I think you told me. So we want to pray for Steve and that you'll have a rapid recuperation too. And just hope that the pain goes down. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God. Oh, I'm sorry, Peggy. You got to whistle too. Mm-hmm. Right, Peggy. Peggy mentioned that her sister who lives in California is coming. I hasn't seen her in 15 years. So that will be a nice little reunion there. And lifting up your son also. And so I want to pray for them as well. Anyone else have a request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, all-wise, all-merciful, And we come in our weaknesses, in our arrogance, in our complacency to you, and spend these few moments in conversation with others sitting in here and others who may be praying at home or other places at this time, O God. And it's beyond our human capacity to understand how you can receive all of our prayers at once. But our faith tells us that you do receive each of our prayers and that you do answer our prayers. Lord, we recognize that our prayers are not always answered the way we wish they were. But Lord, we do trust in you, that we know that you know what is best for us. And yet we do offer our petitions to you, O God, because you want to hear from us. You want to be in dialogue with us as your children. And Lord, sometimes we behave like naughty children, not behaving, not listening, not doing what we know we should be doing. And other times we are like a very good child and we are very obedient and doing exactly what we understand you would have us to do. And Lord, many of us fall somewhere on that continuum. And this day, O God, no matter where we are, we come to you and we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray that you would hear our corporate prayers as well as we come collectively to you as this body of Christ worshiping here in this place at this time this morning. And Lord, we just again thank you for the opportunity of being able to come here today. We lift up those who are not able to be here today for whatever reason, and we just lift them up as well. We pray for those who are ill today, whether they are injured or have an illness, and just pray for their healing according to your will in their lives. We pray especially for those who have had surgery recently or that have and are recuperating. Some are at home now, and we celebrate that, oh God, and others have healed enough to be in rehab. And we pray especially for Cindy this morning and just pray that the rehabilitation may come quickly for her, that the pain may be reduced, that she may be able to go home quickly and soon. But Lord, we know that rehab is work. And we just lift Cindy up today and others who are in rehab today, that they, through their struggles, that they may gain strength. And Lord, we just thank you for the facilities that are available to us when we need those types of programs, when our bodies need to be stretched and strengthened and retaught how to do different things. Lord, we also lift up those who are in mourning today, and we know of those that have been senselessly killed, and we hear of violence. We learn of people that have died because of storms. We pray for the student, for Matt Duggan and his family at Naomi School today, and just the details aren't known, and we don't need to know the details, Lord, to pray for the family, to lift them up that they may find comfort from your spirit in these moments. We pray, O God, that we also may feel your spirit within us and moving among us. The theme for the American Baptist Women's Ministries is to feel, and we pray that over the next 2 years that the women participating in that program may come to a greater appreciation and awakening of your Spirit's presence in their lives. Lord, we also lift up those today who have been affected by the storms and those who are anticipating another storm that may come. We just pray for when they see the devastation, we just pray that they may not lose hope. We pray, O God, for those who have already responded and those who will be coming in the weeks and months to come to help do rebuilding and provide necessary items. And Lord, we just pray that it may be a time of bringing hope to those who are on the border of losing all hope. Lord, we pray if there's some way that we may help, either tangibly through our prayers, through our gifts, through items or finances, that we may do that, O God, that you may be calling us to respond to those in need. The question is when did we see you? Lord, we see you in people that we see on the street. We see you in the face of people gathered here this morning. For we know that you are moving among us. Lord, we just pray that we may recognize you in all and everyone that we work with. Lord, we thank you for the abilities we have to worship you and to serve you. We ask all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting tithes and gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. Lord, we present these tithes and these gifts to you, and we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we go out in Jesus' name to minister in his name. Lord, we just praise you for all that you have blessed us with, and we pray now that you would bless these and bless us. Amen. Dottie Latta will be reading the scripture today.
Scripture this morning is Luke 8, verses 40 through 56. When Jesus returned to the other side of the lake, the people welcomed him because they had all been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus arrived. He was an official in the local synagogue. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet and begged him to go to his home because his only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went along, the people were crowding him from every side. Among them was a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. She came up in the crowd behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the people are all around you and crowding in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew it when the power went out of me." The woman saw that she had been found out, so she came trembling and threw herself at Jesus' feet. There, in front of everyone, she told him why she touched him and how she had been healed at once. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While Jesus was saying this, a messenger came from the official's house. "Your daughter has died," he told Jairus. "Don't bother the teacher any longer." But Jesus heard it and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be well." When he arrived at the house, he would not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Everyone there was crying and mourning for the child. Jesus said, "Don't cry. The child is not dead. She is only sleeping." They all made fun of him because they knew that she was dead. But Jesus took her by the hand and called, "Get up, child." Her life returned, and she got up at once, and Jesus ordered them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this passage from Luke's gospel of two miracles performed by Jesus on that day. Lord, as we have sung earlier, as far as wanting to see and touch, that there were so many people in that crowd that wanted to see and touch Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that our ears may be open to listening, our eyes may be opening to having a new revelation before us of what Jesus would have us to do and how we can be ministers in his name. Open our hearts and minds this day, O God, to receive a word from you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look at your hands for a moment. Just, you know, look at them. God has placed within these hands, all of these hands, the power for us to bring new life into the lives of others through a simple touch. A touch on the shoulder of someone who is discouraged brings hope and new life. A touch on the hand of one who is afraid brings courage and new life. A touch on the back of one who is stumbling backwards brings stability and new life. Jesus once declared, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." It's not God's will for us to view life as something to be dreaded, but rather as a gift from God with unlimited possibilities for God to work in and through us. Jesus' gift of life is not something reserved simply for heaven. His gift is available to change people today. He brings new life, offering it to anyone who wants to make a change in their lives. Our scripture today tells about one day when Jesus was very busy, and there was a large crowd around him. But in the midst of this group of people was a man whose daughter was in need of a touch from Jesus. He begged Jesus to please accompany him to his home because his 12-year-old daughter was very ill. That man's name was Jairus, and he was a leader in one of the synagogues. When Jesus saw this man and heard his plea, his heart was moved to compassion, and he decided to bring new life into the heart of Jairus and into the life of his daughter. Jesus left the abundance of the crowd because a 12-year-old girl was sick and in need of one touch that would bring new life. He gave up the opportunity to speak to hundreds, maybe even thousands, just to go and see a little girl whose name we've never learned. Everybody matters to God. When God calls us to do a work for him, we need to remember that it does not have to be something that everybody else calls great. Just as Jesus was sent to leave the group for the one, we may likewise receive that call in order to bring new life into the lives of others with our touch. As Jesus went on his way, his progress was very slow because the crowd was hindering his movement. The Bible tells us that they were pressing in on Jesus so tightly that they were crushing him. And the sad thing is that they were crushing Jesus, but not touching him. It's true their hands were reaching out to touch him, much as people do today when they go wild over some music sensation, political personality, sports star, or a movie starlet. Jesus never wanted to be considered a superstar. He is only important to those who know that they have a need in their lives that only he can fill. Now Jairus, that father of the 12-year-old girl, had a religious background and was considered an outstanding member in the community. He was held in high esteem by others. He was a ruler in the synagogue. But those things were not what got Jesus' attention. Jesus focused on Jairus because Jairus knew that he had a need that only Jesus could fill. And he had faith that a touch from Jesus could make all the difference in the world. Now on that same day, there was a woman in that crowd whom I'll call Anna. Anna was a woman who was physically weak, emotionally tired, and financially bankrupt. She had been suffering from a hemorrhage for the past 12 years, going from doctor to doctor in search of a new life, but finding none. To add to her physical discomfort was the declaration by the religious law that her physical condition made her unclean spiritually. As an unclean person, she could not utilize the gift of touch that God had placed within her in her hands, because for her to touch someone, she would make that person unclean also. And for anyone to use their power of touch upon Anna would make that person unclean. She could not simply just talk to any person about her medical condition, because it was a private and personal matter. She was there in the midst of that crowd that encircled Jesus. If the people in the crowd had known of her condition, they would have shouted all kinds of insults at her to get away from them. This woman had done all she could for her situation. It had been going on for 12 years, and she had spent every last cent she had on medical bills. There was nowhere else for her to turn. Jesus was her last hope. Now, it's interesting if we step back for a moment and think about this. At the same time that Jairus and his wife were celebrating the wonderful gift of joy in the birth of their daughter, Anna was beginning a 12-year period of agony and nightmare in her life. What a different path each of those families took. But some 12 years later, this outstanding leader in the community and this social and religious outcast are converging on the same Jesus looking for help. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus responding to needs. It does not matter how much money people have or their social status. The color of one's skin is neither an advantage or a disadvantage with Jesus. Jesus does not pay attention to the distinctions that the world would have us embrace. Like the woman coming to Jesus, we all have issues that need to be changed. And Jesus offers each one of us life. And that means living in a new way that we have not lived in the past. That woman, whom I've named for the sake of naming, making it a little more personal, Anna, believed in the power of touch. She had not touched anyone or reached out to anyone for such a long time. And she believed in her heart, if she could just touch Jesus, things would change. Others may have put her down and shouted, "Unclean!" But she believed that Jesus would receive her just as she was. She wanted a change in her life. She wanted new life. While others thought that just getting a glimpse of Jesus was the most one could expect on that day, Anna chose to reach out and touch him. She struggled and pushed through the crowd. She had to catch up from behind to get close to Jesus. And the moment she touched the edge of his garment, she felt a power go through her, and she was healed. She knew it immediately. She found the new life that she had been looking for over the last 12 years. Just a touch of Jesus made all the difference. It was a new life touch. She was thankful that she had been willing to be so bold. Each one of us may be struggling with an affliction today, but a touch from Jesus can make all the difference in what the rest of our life is going to be like. Things do not have to continue to be the same. We must not underestimate the power of the Spirit to set us free with a new life touch from Jesus Christ. Even if we stay in the circumstances we are in, God can give us a new attitude to handle the situation completely differently. A change is possible. Not only did that woman feel the touch of Jesus, Jesus also felt her touching him. He sensed that the power of love and compassion had flown out of his body to extend new life to someone. So he immediately asked the question, "Who touched me?" Looking around, the crowd that was pressing around him had pushed him beyond Anna's reach. And though many people were reaching out to touch him, when Jesus asked this question with such authority, they became afraid. And they deny that they had touched him. It's like, hands off. Even the disciples are somewhat annoyed by the question. For Peter says, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Don't you see all these people here are pressing on you? What do you mean, who touched you? They're all touching you." But Jesus replied, "Wait a minute, Peter. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy. Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." It wasn't just the jostling that he felt. He knew that someone with intention had touched him. And Jesus had a reason for making such a big deal out of this. For Anna had lived for years in the shadow of society, not wanting to be identified or known. She experienced one of the greatest moments of her life in just those moments. What thoughts must be racing through her mind in these moments? Now, and then she hears Jesus saying, "Who touched me?" And she knows that she's the guilty one. But is Jesus going to rebuke her for her unauthorized touch? Is he going to ask her for payment, of which she has no money? Her initial joy is replaced with an overwhelming sense of fear. She comes forward trembling. And the moment someone recognizes her, they probably whisper, "It's that unclean woman. She touched Jesus." No wonder he asked the question. Whispers and murmurs rush through the crowd. Anna falls at the feet of Jesus, and she tells him her whole life story. And then she gets the part about touching Jesus and how she had instantly been healed. And no doubt at this point there are tears running down her face, not tears of sadness, but tears of joy and tears of fear. But she gives her testimony of the goodness of God in her life. So we may question, well, why did Jesus stop? Why did Jesus ask? Why did he just go on? He had another appointment to be going to. But Jesus wanted to be the confirmation to this woman's testimony. For if she had not come to Jesus and confessed, she would have gone away with all the social and the religious stigma that she had come to Jesus with that day. People still would have referred to her as the unclean woman. But by giving a public testimony, she professed her faith. She was not going to be a secret follower of Jesus from a distance. Jesus looked at this woman who had just received a new life touch and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Those were words that restored her in society and in the religious community. All those other touches of Jesus that took place that day were missing the belief and the faith that Jesus was going to make a difference in their lives. They left Jesus in the same state as they had arrived. All those other people had been content just with looking at Jesus. But Anna was not satisfied with just a look. She came expecting more from Jesus, and her faith was rewarded wonderfully. Her faith caused her to meet Jesus face to face, and her faith in Christ brought her new life. If you remember that Jesus called her daughter, and this is the only time in the Gospels that it's recorded that Jesus calling a woman daughter. What a distinct privilege. We don't know her name, but we know the relationship that Jesus established for her. It meant that she had become a child of God. The phrase that he said has healed you is a translation of the word that means to be saved. So she had a healed body and a saved soul, and she went out in peace, all because of his word brought on by a new life touch. Jesus took time out to care for a woman that everybody else had pretty much written off because he loved her. In that brief period of time, dealing with Anna, word came to Jairus not to bother Jesus any longer because Jairus' daughter was dead. But not even death can stop Jesus from providing new life. Jesus saw the pain and the discomfort that overcame Jairus when he got the news, and Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." Jesus was inviting Jairus to continue to have faith. When Jesus arrived at the home of Jairus, he told the people to stop wailing because the little girl was only sleeping. These professional mourners laughed at him, but Jesus ignored them. And Jesus took his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, along with parents Jairus and Jairus' wife, into the room where the little girl lay dead. He touched the little girl's hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned to her, and at once she stood up. New life had entered her body through the touch of Jesus. Now, Jesus called that woman daughter, and he calls this little girl my child. One was from the outcasts, and the other from a family of nobility. But by a new life touch, both were fully included in the family of God. The little girl's parents were astonished at what Jesus had done in raising their daughter. But Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. He did this so that this child could have a normal life, rather than be pegged as a celebrity who had been risen from the dead. Jesus does not necessarily need superstars to build the kingdom. He wants ordinary people who are willing to surrender themselves to the power of God. People who are willing to extend new life touches into the lives of others. People who are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in everyday life situations. God needs people who are willing to reach out and touch others, as well as people who realize that they need to be touched. If you are willing to be led by God's Spirit, your life will never be the same again, nor will the lives of those whom you touch. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have seen through your scripture this day of the miraculous touch of Jesus, Lord, we pray for that in our lives as well. You know what's going on in our lives. You know those areas that need to be touched. We pray for that type of healing that we need. And Lord, as we are healed, we pray that we may then become healers of others through your touch. We claim no power of our own, O God. It is only through your Spirit that you enable us and empower us to touch others, that they may feel you in special ways. Lord, we thank you for the gift of touch. We pray now that you would empower us to be your ambassadors to those whom we meet throughout our life. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
May Jesus, who offered himself to bear the sins of all, touch our lives in personal ways. May his saving grace erase the darkness of the past and keep us in his loving presence, so that we may go forth in the name of Jesus, ministering to all in need of his loving, healing touch. Amen.